The following is a class given by His Holiness Jaya Pataka Swami on September 17, 1997 in Bangalore, India. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, verse 26.
Manchajo vavicharena
bhakti
yogena sevate
sagunan
samatitaitan brahma bhuvaya kalpate manchajo vavicharena
bhakti
yogena sevate sagunan samatitaitan Brahma Bhuvaya Kalpate. Translation. By His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature, and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse is a reply to Arjuna's third question. What is the means of attaining to the transcendental position? As explained before, the material world is acting under the spell of the modes of material nature. One should not be disturbed by the activities of the modes of nature. Instead of putting his consciousness into such activities, he may transfer his consciousness to Krishna activities. Krishna activities are known as bhakti yoga, always acting for Krishna. This includes not only Krishna but his different plenary expansions, such as Rama and Narayana. He has innumerable expansions. One who is engaged in the service of any of the forms of Krishna or of his plenary expansions is considered to be transcendentally situated. One should also note that all the forms of Krishna are fully transcendental, blissful, full of knowledge, and eternal. Such personalities of Godhead are omnipotent and omniscient, and they possess all transcendental qualities. So if one engages himself in the service of Krishna or his plenary expansions with unfailing determination, although these modes of material nature are very difficult to overcome, one can overcome them easily. This has already been explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders unto Krishna at once surmounts the influence of the modes of material nature. To be in Krishna consciousness or in devotional service means to acquire equality with Krishna. The Lord says that His nature is eternal, blissful and full of knowledge, Sachit Ananda. As gold particles are part of a gold mine, thus, the living entity in his spiritual position is also as good as gold, as good as Krishna in quality. The difference of individuality continues, otherwise there would be no question of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means that the Lord is there, the devotee is there, and the activity of exchange of love between the Lord and the devotee is there. Therefore, the individuality of two persons is present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the individual person. Otherwise, there would be no meaning to bhakti yoga. If one is not situated in the same transcendental position with the Lord, one cannot serve the Supreme Lord. To be a personal assistant to a king, one must acquire the qualifications. Thus, the qualification is to become Brahman, or freed from all material contamination. It is said in the Vedic literature, Brahmaiva san brahmapyeti. One can attain the Supreme Brahman by becoming Brahman. This means one must qualitatively become one with Brahman. By attainment of Brahman, one does not lose his eternal Brahman identity as an individual soul. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport to the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 14, text 26. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Full devotional service. That's a very tall order. To always do everything as a service to Krishna. It requires adjusting one's mentality continuously and bringing it in line with Krishna's desires. We do that by surrendering to the Guru. We do that. The Guru is Krishna's representative, so if we can do what's pleasing to the Guru, then we know that's pleasing to Krishna. We know what's pleasing to Krishna from the scriptures, from the shastras. So by sadhu, shastra and guru, we know what's pleasing to Krishna and we do those things. And in this way, then one can be engaging in full devotional service. For brahmacharis, they have got a specific environment and they have to follow the rules of brahmachari ashram. So for them it's a bit simple. They have an advantage in the temple. They don't have to deal with the material things so much. They can deal directly with Krishna's direct services. Although some of the brahmacharis may be interfacing with the material world, someone may be doing legal department, someone might be doing the contracts department or whatever, then they also have to deal with so many material things, but they're doing it directly as a service for the temple. So it feels very good and you know that this is for Krishna. The householders, they can do everything as a full devotional service also, but it requires a lot more adjustment. You have to connect varieties of things which are not direct devotional service normally. Say somebody's working in their job, how to rationalize that that's a devotional service? If they use their workplace as a place to make contacts for devotional service, just like there are some devotees who are in the Middle East who would like to come back and join the temple in Bangalore, but I'm telling them to keep on working there because they're doing nice preaching and they have many vrindas. So they are working as also a devotional service. Or someone may be working and they're maintaining their family in a Krishna conscious way and they're offering the food and their 50% of their income, they're somehow in different ways they're spending on Krishna conscious things. So that can also be considered a full devotional service. So depending on how the one can adjust their activities, they're conscious that you can be, you can also do things and feel that this is a devotional service because it's authorized. If you're not sure if it's devotional service or how to make it devotional service, then you should get some advice from some senior devotees. So in this way, what we eat, we offer to Krishna. We read things which are either practical, used to our material activities, which are also connected to Krishna. Everything we connected, one way or another. So in that way, then we can consciously be feeling that everything we do is a Krishna conscious service. And it should not be just that we feel that, but we should know it, because it's authorized by sadhu, shastra and guru. Srila Prabhupada mentioned a lot here, our Lord is Sachid Anand. And we are also Sachid Anand, but we are small and the Lord is big. We are Anu and the Lord is Vibhu. Just like this ring that Prabhupada wore has got a certain quantity of gold. And the Kolar gold mine In its prime, it had a lot more gold. I don't know how much it has now. So, gold in a gold mine or gold in a gold ring is gold. But quantity is different, isn't it? So, when we come up to devotional service to the level of Brahman, that doesn't mean we merge into Krishna or something. It means now we can directly relate with Krishna because we understand we are spirit, Krishna is supreme spirit, and we are serving Krishna on spiritual platform. So then, we should be careful not to mix things up. Sometimes devotees are still contaminated by mundane thoughts, and then they pray to Krishna for mundane things, and that takes one away from the pure devotional service. Even when the gopis were told they had to worship Devi for husband, they would pray for Krishna. The pure devotees, whatever they do, it's always connected with Krishna. They don't have any other connection. So that's what keeps them always transcendental. But sometimes somebody may pray, even if we pray to Krishna that somebody's sick, we want them to recover, we say, if it so please you, Krishna. In other words, we're not asking Krishna for anything which if it's not his desire. If he has some higher plan, and that plan means that that person doesn't get well, we'll surrender to it. But if everything's equal, we're trying to maybe influence Krishna, that if it pleases him, please let our dear one recover and become healthy. So we don't want to make like a business deal with Krishna, that I'm serving you, you give me something and read material. So we qualify, we're sensitive about this. We are serving Krishna without condition. That is pure devotional service. Unconditional surrender, unconditional service. Even if we have some material desire, then we can also serve Krishna. But then Krishna will give us the material desires first, before he gives us Krishna consciousness purely. Like he gave to Dhruva, or he may give simultaneously. But just like our relationship with Krishna is eternal, we should understand that our relationship with the Guru, once somebody takes initiation, their relationship is a permanent relationship. Chakudana diloje janme janme prabhu se, even go birth after birth. Someone was writing that maybe yesterday I said some Sanskrit sloka wrong during the Gita recitation. Please don't, I hope the Guru doesn't reject me. Guru doesn't reject for such things. The only, Guru practically speaking never rejects a disciple. Only time when a Guru is supposed to reject a disciple is if a disciple becomes very much inimical against the Guru and is poisoning other disciples. If a disciple becomes like a blasphemer of Krishna and is going around and saying horrible things against Krishna, and therefore to save the other disciple, then only he will reject the disciple. Otherwise, what does the Guru gain by rejecting a disciple? He's taken commitment to deliver the disciple. So you don't have to, disciple doesn't have to fear rejection. You might fear that I'm not serving properly or I'm not being a good servant to my spiritual master or something like that. But no one shouldn't feel fear of a rejection from the Guru's side. Rather, the Guru is more afraid the disciples, they may fall into Maya, or they may reject the Guru. Why? The Guru will reject. Even the scripture says that even if a disciple is fallen and makes mistakes, still there's no advantage to rejecting, because rejecting you don't save. Try to, like a doctor, if your patient goes sick, critical, then you have to give intensive care, you have to do something special, but you don't stop trying to save the disciple, the patient. So you go on trying to save the patient until, you know, the patient has a desire to live, then you keep on trying to save. Like that, as long as a disciple is willing to try to do something Krishna conscious, then we try to save them. If at some point the disciple says, I don't want to be Krishna conscious, then what can we do? Because it's voluntary. So nobody should feel this, sometime you get this, you know, please don't push me away or don't reject me. That's not something to fear at all. It's not part of our philosophy. You might fear Maya may bewilder you and take you away. Maya may make you desire so much sense gratification and you lose your taste for Krishna or something like that. Those are the things. You should fear Maya. Don't fear the Guru. In fact, a Guru is like a mother. You see, there's a famous story how Gadadhar Prabhu, he went to see one famous devotee and he committed an offense by doubting that devotee's sincerity. And later he realized the devotee is actually pure at heart. So then he realized that in order to get free of the offense, I should become the disciple of that devotee. Because the disciple is always forgiven by the guru, even he makes so many mistakes. So just like a mother has a small baby, we said that today was initiation for some devotees. We said that initiation is like the birth. So when the baby is born, it's kicking the mother, you're holding on the lap, right? So baby is kicking and hitting. Does the mother or father mind with those kicks? You've kicked me! Nobody does like that, and then he's crack. So we expect a few, you know, mistakes to be made. That's part of growing up spiritually. We hope, you know, if somebody is very old and they make a foolish mistake, it may be painful. Even then the mother doesn't reject the child. Only if one child starts to go with a knife after the other children, then you know, wait a minute, right? So that's the only time that ever the question comes up. So you should be taking more and more shelter of Guru and the Vaishnavas, but you should be very careful about Maya. As this verse said, if you're always engaged in Krishna's service, then you have no problem. Sometimes as older devotees, they become careless. It's like they think, I've already served so many years, I did enough, now let me take a break. But like say that you're flying from here to New York, and you're halfway across the Atlantic Ocean. To someone, I've flown enough now, let's just turn off the engine for a while. Is that a very good idea? Until we land in the spiritual world, we shouldn't think about turning off the engine. No matter how far we get, we're still flying. Wait till you land, then you can, no worry, engine will turn off itself. You'll get new engine, spiritual body. So one should keep on with their devotional service, no matter what happens. Somehow Maya bewilders one and they stop chanting and stop practicing and then they come into difficulties. So that's what we are worried about. So try to help each other to keep on chanting. I'll be very grateful. Keep everybody flying till we get all back to Golok Vrindavan. Nitai Gaur Siddhavan Vrindavan Vrindavan. So because Mayapur master planning is here in Bangalore, so they called me down for consultations so I could come to Bangalore. I hope you didn't mind. Hare Krishna. I have to catch a flight now. So today, these departures are always heart-rending. Such nice devotees. So I hope we can keep in touch and be back here soon enough. Haribol.